I've learned that people will forget what you said. People will forget what you did. But people will never forget how you made them feel. Maya Angelou. Ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to another episode of Podnuts Pro. I am your host, Marvin B., and we are broadcasting live from Fort Lauderdale, Florida, home of Florida Man. And we have a great guest for you tonight, a new Florida Man. Our good friend John Dubinsky is now in the state. He is here, and the rest of you might as well just start coming on down. Florida is the place to be, and we will prove it tonight. So I'm going to bring him on in just a second. But for those of you that are either watching or listening for the first time, Podnuts Pro is your podcast for IT business support. If you ever want to go back and listen to past episodes, you want to head over to podnutspro.com. You can find all of the past episodes there. If you haven't yet subscribed to the show, you can do that. There is a place for you to subscribe to Apple, Google, Spotify, all the places that you get your podcast, you can do that. If you want to be notified of when the videos are, subscribe to us either on YouTube, just do a search for Podnuts Pro, or on the Facebook. Same thing, just look for Podnuts Pro. We are going to be all over the place. And coming soon, Clubhouse, a Podnuts Pro Clubhouse. I have no idea how to work it yet, but it'll be coming soon. So I am going to go ahead and get something started here. I want to introduce our guest and get him in here real quick. I couldn't find the great intro music, but ladies and gentlemen, formally, of the Maven Group, my friend, new Florida man, John Dubinsky. John boy.
Hey, B, it's great to be here. It is official. I got my license plate yesterday, so life is good.
Oh, got the license plate. Did you get a vanity?
Florida license plate. Rocking the license plates on the Jeep, so life is good.
Did you get a vanity plate that says Maven?
No. My wife got some flowers, the flower plate. I got the Marine Corps plate, so all good.
All right. Well, that's pretty good specialty plate. That works. Yeah. So, how does it feel? You've been here now, what, 2 months, 3 months?
No, we're working on a little bit over a month. Well, I shouldn't say that. January 20th, thereabouts, made it down here. So okay. January, February 20th, March. So going on two.
All right.
Yeah, life is good. Getting settled in the new home, finding out everybody else that's already down here besides you and Mike Smith. And, you know, I'm hoping to get an invite to the Smith compound at some point. But other than that, just kind of enjoying the weather's a little different than Michigan down here. So I'm just enjoying that as well.
Yeah, normally I would do a weather check, but that used to be so much more interesting when you were up north. But we can do it a little bit because you are on the other side of the state, literally straight across Alligator Alley. And
right.
Speaking of compound, that place there, you guys are working on something there.
Thanks. I appreciate that. It was great having you over last weekend for a couple hours.
Yep. So how is the weather right now? Because like I said, the tale of two sides, the East Coast and West Coast, we're 71 degrees right now.
Well, right now we are rocking 70 degrees.
Okay.
We had a nice balmy 80 degree day today, so... And we're going to be 80 to 90 the rest of the week. So that is good.
Okie dokie, sir. Well, let's continue on here. I do want to go ahead and acknowledge we have some people here in the chat. We have our good friend, Matt Rainey. What is up, Mr. Rainey? Michael and Mr. Perry. Mr. Perry's over on that side of the coast. You got to add him to the list of people you got to see at some point.
Absolutely.
All right, so let's do a new segment here. I'm going to blast you real quick as we do. in the news. So, I'm going to start with a Florida man story. And normally I do a recent story that will kind of wow you guys out of the box. But this time I'm going to go back and review a story that actually happened in October of 2019. Cody Meter, who is 22, was appointed a psychologist by the circuit court judge ahead of a hearing that he's supposed to have next month to determine his competency for trial. Now, you ask, what type of crime does he need to go and have his competency checked? In St. Petersburg, he was found with a stuffed unicorn and allegedly dry-humped it in view of a target loss prevention officer. He then grabbed an Olaf stuffed doll of the widely popular PG-rated Disney movie Frozen and dry-humped it until he, yes, put the word in there. And so he was arrested and basically admitted to the cops that he did stupid stuff. So that was over in St. Petersburg near our good friend Mike Smith. Now I want to get a little closer to home in the IT world because most of you by now have seen the MSP's transgender joke that went wrong when Scott Miller of the UK-based IT Rockstars posted in Facebook that he was going to mark the day, which was International Women's Day, by mocking transgenders online. And he used a face app to look like a female, appeared to be in the IT, well, I won't list the group, but it was a group of about 10,000 members. Other members of the group responded, indicating that they found his post to be inappropriate. And his response was, "Guys, please respect my wishes to identify the way I want." And he was called out, and rightly should have been. And so I want to give props to two people, Chris Weiser and Nicole Boone. Nicole is the CEO of Phoenix Secure IT, Chris Weiser of Seven Figure MSP, basically called him out to the turf. And I mean, this is something, folks, I don't even know how to write a script for this, because with the year that we have had and the diversity discussions we have had, I myself have put on 3 diversity podcasts, and we still have people in the industry that do this. And some of you ask me, why would you do this? Well, because of idiots like this. And I hope that it's just a simple mistake that he apologizes for. He has not yet apologized that I know of. But Nicole Boone and Chris Weiser, thank you very much for standing up, because that's what we need happening in the industry. So that is your news for the day. All right. So I haven't quite figured out how to end that properly, because I don't know if I'm going to like ask for comments from the guest, or, you know, I don't have a Ed McMahon sitting next to me to throw his comments up. But John?
Well, I'm kind of wondering how somebody had a good idea just to begin with. So that's about all I got to say about that. Yep.
So at the end of the show, John, I usually do a segment where we give the guests an opportunity to do Florida Man versus the World or Random Question. I'm going to tell you up front, you're getting the Random Question.
Yeah, I'll take it.
Because I can't believe that you yet have found yourself a Florida Man story. But if you have, I'd like to hear it.
You got it. It's actually in my Apple News feed, Florida Man.
Oh, you got it. Okay.
So I got a couple. I actually heard the one with Olaf that showed up in my Disney feed.
Oh, my. Okay. And those of you commenting in the chat, some of them will address a little bit later. John has said that he will stay through the podcast into the post show. So we'll be able to stay after the show and have a little bit more candid conversation. So, John, why don't we quickly do this? Because most people know you from over the years. You've been a part of the Podnuts community. You've been a frequent contributor on some of the podcasts. You did a podcast with Paco back in January. I believe the date was January 7th or 9th. And it was entitled Into the Sunset and was a part of the MSP Unplugged podcast titled Into the Sunset. And you guys sat and talked about the fact that you did what I consider the ultimate marketing move. Sold your business and retired to Florida. Man, how'd you pull that off?
Well, you know, looking back, it still is kind of a little surreal. Like, my wife and I go for a walk at night, and I kind of still got to pinch myself or ask her. I said, "Can you believe we're down here already?" I don't even know if Florida would have been on our top five list, except for all our families down here. So it was the place to go. And, you know, you're down here, B, so I had to get down here sooner or later. But, you know, it's a combination or culmination, I should say, of 25 years of work. Just came together over what I would say from August 1st of last year to, let's just say, February 1 this year. A lot of magic, a lot of things happened, a lot of things came together. You know, I won't reiterate everything that Paco and I discussed on the podcast, but I went down the quick list of just the things that happened in those couple months. You know, I sold my business. The company I sold my business to merged with another company. And therefore, I was bought out, which is kind of the magic that happened. I sold my house, sold my parents' house, sold my in-laws' house. My dad passed away, which is a sad moment for me. But, you know, as far as those things go, it went about as good as possible. My dog died, which I don't know why I laughed, poor thing. But, and then I ended up down here. And then, you know, mixed in with all that, there was just a ton of other blessings of timing and all that sort of magic. So, I don't know if I'd call myself very religious, but definitely a bunch of blessings along the way.
Well, I always say that things in life happen for a reason, good and bad. And it really is a testament to have things kind of fall in place the way they did for you, and you had the good and the bad all mixed in together, but it was almost like dominoes. They just fell into place. Each happened at each. Yep. So let's go back. I know that, like I said, and like you said, we don't want to reiterate everything on that podcast. Folks, if you do want to go back and hear the full story, again, MSP Unplugged, January 7th, with Paco LeBron and John Dubinsky there. I want to go back a little bit further, because you started your business just about the same time I did. I started mine in 97. You started in 99. And
95, actually, Marvin.
95. Okay.
Yes. You know, it's funny. I heard you on Connects Booster. I just got a comment. You know, it's kind of, even listening to you there, it made me realize even more how close our paths have been, because I actually owned a Dodge Neon as well. I didn't know if I wanted to admit it on air, but I did have one as well.
What color was it?
Black.
Oh.
With a spoiler.
How funny is that?
With a spoiler.
How about is that? I had a white one with a spoiler. You had a black one with a spoiler.
Maybe we'll comment more on that after the show.
We'll let that go. So, I know you talked with Paco about getting the business ready for sale and the things to get in place. But let's talk about the journey, because, you know, we were basically on similar paths. Now, I am not on a quick retirement path. I plan to ride this thing out until it can't ride anymore. I'm already here in Florida, so I don't need to retire to Florida. But in terms of starting out, how did you see your business progressing when you first got started?
You mean way back when when I get started on planning for the end?
Nope, way back when.
Whew. You know, I got to be honest. When I first jumped into this, and I actually, I hung up my open sign for business. You know, I didn't even own a computer. I owned a Samsung fax machine. I love to tell this story. And that's it. I got my first client, and then I bought my laptop, my Samsung Sens 800 laptop. And I don't know why I remember that either, but, I don't think I ever planned or thought that I would get to this point, 25 years later. I think at that point I said, I just want a job. Computers are cool. What else am I going to do? You know, I've been working in for a different computer company. This is what I know. I have a company asking me for help. It's like a great place to start.
All right. And for the most part now, were you always the solo tech, per se? Did you ever have employees?
No, I've kind of gone, you know, through that sine wave of solo tech to having four employees, I had a great employee, and I was probably too young to know that at the time, but his name was Brent. And basically, Brent left me after, I think it was 3.5 years, not in any ill will. Brent had a wonderful wife who speak, read several different languages. So she got this incredible job where she arbitrated these huge deals all over the world. So they packed up their kids and took off. And I still talk to Brent to this day. But, you know, my learning lesson there was when Brent left, I realized everything he was doing. He was an excellent manager of our other two techs. And all of a sudden I was thrust into that role. And, you know, I made some business decisions at that point that I didn't really want to do that role. I think I wanted to go back to being a solo tech because I really like that. And at that point I had office space like you do. My wife owned her own business. I classified it as a UPS store. So she owned the front of the building and we worked out of the back of the building and the offices and had a back entrance. And we did that for about 5 years. And then I could still remember we were talking and I was like, you know, you get people in here every day, meaning into the office. I said, I haven't had a customer into the backside of this building for the entire year. So we didn't have a customer come into our site for the entire year. So that's when we decided to sell her business and I moved my business, I say quasi back home to a home office.
Interesting.
And that would have been around 2000, I think.
Okay. So I was
early on that, but that feels about right.
Yeah. That was early on then.
Yes.
Yeah. Wow. That's a long time.
And that was a great decision. And I've been a solo tech ever since.
That's a long time to work out of the house. I'll tell you that.
Yeah, and that was through several moves. And, you know, and I say solo tech loosely because, you know, I think I know how you work too. I had a lot of great partners. You know, one of my best partners was the company that bought my business. But, you know, I had a great person that pulled on my cabling, you know, a great VoIP company. You know, I had a lot of supportive companies that were other solo techs or other small businesses that really helped me get to where I am. Not to mention all the other techs I've interacted with over the years that have helped.
All right. So now that you've, you know, told us how you started, and I know that the way that you got to the decision was you made the decision and then things fell into place. But in terms of the years leading up to that, because a lot of the reason stuff fell into place is because you had your business in a place that made it easy. So getting your contracts, getting your stack, just can you describe how you got the philosophy and the mindset to get your business in that position?
I really want to emphasize that it starts with having a good CPA. Mm-hmm. And, you know, CPA is not really a good word for it. You want to have a good business partner that's, you know, handling your money, you know, your CPA, but one that's also giving you guidance that you're going to talk to, you know, I would say at least twice a year, but probably maybe four times a year, depending on how much you need them. Just that might nudge you one way or another. And, you know, to our credit, and I give a lot of credit to my wife is too, because she's the one that does all my books. You know, I would say we started about 5 years before this all happened in making some business decisions and conscious business decisions on how we wanted to run the business, looking towards the end for valuation. And I would say a couple of the big ones were no long-term contracts with any vendors, even trying to push everybody that we could to month. And when I sold my business, I didn't have any vendor except for one that I wasn't on a month-to-month contract with. And the only reason I didn't have that one is doing the math. It was actually mathematically more affordable to sign a year-long contract with the single vendor that we had that was a year contract. You know, and that's a great example of you look really attractive when you don't for sale, when you don't bring any burdens, any long burdens with you to the company. So that was one of the big decisions we made. We also made some decisions in the long term, just in how we kind of focused or how the books were set up. And this is all my CPA's doing, where it was kind of easy to see the book value or the equity value of the business versus what every business owner does and, you know, writing off expenses and that sort of thing. It was easy to see business earnings and our expected or our annual growth in our numbers based on our basic reports. And I did that based on the recommendation, or I talked to my CPA about that based on a recommendation of a of another business owner that I used to work with. You know, he said his big thing with everything, and this goes way back, he was in just in time, and his big thing, you want to be able to manage everything by eye, John. So you want to be able to run your balance sheet and your profit and loss, you know, as much as often as you want to, daily, weekly, monthly, quarterly, you know, however annual you want to be about that thing. But you want to be able to manage your business easily by eye. So we set up our categories and set up our QuickBooks, that's the financial software we used, to be able to do that. So it was easy to see that we had 10% growth year over year. I think it was over the seven previous years. So that was awesome. And it was really easy to pull out our business earnings. It was, I think that's what made the sale so quick. We had one, two, three companies in a matter of 3 months looking at purchasing us. And it moved very quickly from turning, you know, giving them our reports to let's talk, because it was easy to see the value or to get the valuation of our company based on what we had done in the past.
Right. You had mentioned,
so the short answer to, go ahead.
I was going
to
say, you had mentioned in that other podcast that, you know, being able to tell where your money was coming from at an instant. And that's something that we've been doing as well, is knowing how much money you made from hardware, from software, from cloud sales, 365. That's a big key to know what your profitability is. And at the same time, also to know where your expenses are, you know, in terms of what are you spending to support your customer when it comes to client costs and things of that nature. So that was a very key thing that you said there. And I always like to say, you know, just like you said, if you can't see it, you can't manage it. Treat your books the same way you treat the networks. You know, if you can't see it, you can't manage it. And you got to be able to see everything and know your cost. And, you know, when a customer wants to, you know, come at you and say, well, why do you charge this much? And you can say, well, in order to support our customers, this is what it costs me. For all the tools and the time, this is what it costs. And we're in this to make money too. We're not giving this stuff away, so.
Well, I really think it was a hard push for us too, to use, you know, the KISS principle, you know, keep it simple, stupid, that, you know, you got to be careful in your books too, that you're not breaking down every minute thing too. Right. I think you can take it too far. And then you'll just have a bookkeeping nightmare, you know, trying to remember what goes where, you know, was it a, so, you know, we tried to keep it, you know, I don't know how to explain it, but, you know, at a maximum of, or making bookkeeping easy while getting the numbers we needed.
All right. Okay. So were you getting ready to go down another path, or were you ending the
path? Well, I wanted to say that it wasn't all roses. You know, when I sold my business, you know, one of the big things, and I knew this would come, was that we made a conscious decision on how we did our contracts. And I ran my business kind of the way that I would want to work with another business. So I didn't want to have any long-term contracts, so I didn't expect my customers to carry any long-term contracts, which means that all of my customers were month to month. Keeping that in mind, that is a huge negative when you go to sell. Buyers like to see their, you know, what they're buying locked up for 1, 2, 3 years when they get it. And depending on the structure of the deal that you might do, you know, you might get paid on how much of the book of business they're buying they keep over a period of time.
Right.
So, you know, if they lose 20% of the business, you might only get paid based on that 80% of the book that they keep,
right,
even though, you know, they lost them through no fault of your own. So that's something to keep in mind. In our case, you know, I can say that the company that ended up purchasing the Maven Group was our VoIP company, who was already embedded in about 80% of our clients. So our clients already knew them. So there was a huge comfort level there. And to go back to your previous statement, you know, you said you were in it for the long term. You know, I got to be honest too, that, you know, I actually had a couple years planned to work with the company that bought me. You know, I was getting a paid salary. I was one of the techs per se, you know, and all of that. So this kind of broke up, or the excitement happened very quickly for me when they made their next merger. So, you know, those are things to keep in mind. And I'll also tag on to this before we go too deep into it, that the company that purchased me had a lot of like systems, meaning I am a very, we were a big G Suite shop or Google Workplace shop. They were as well. They were already doing some managed networking, and it just happened to match up that they were using a lot of the same networking equipment. So, you know, we have had a lot of synergies already moving in together. So there is some magic there if you happen to stumble in a buyer that's doing that, you know, apples to apples matchup. They really like that as well.
All right. Now, did you make a conscious effort? And we're not talking about the year that you tried every freaking vendor in the channel, but did you
been there?
Did you did you make a conscious effort to standardize your stack?
Well, I want to say both things. I don't remember what year that was, but that was a painful year. Yes, I spent a lot of money in a painful year trying a ton of vendors. But I also did the absolute reverse, and I can give a lot of credit to Paco because we did a lot of this together over about, I'd say it might have been almost 2 years, which we really focused on eliminated vendors, trying to reduce the number of vendors we work with, finding the solution, and using that KISS principle, you know, keeping it simple. How simple can we make this, you know, that sort of thing.
All right.
So it goes both ways. And I also think that made the sale more attractive when, you know, we didn't have this book of 100 vendors, you know, where we could bring this sleek group of relationships that we had where we could say, hey, talk to this guy at XYZ company because we work with them all the time. You know, we have a great relationship with them. We already have terms with them. You know, if you're going to bring your book of business and combine it with ours, boy, they're going to love to have you guys, you know, that sort of thing. So good vendor relations and having a clean accounts receivable / payable is also very good to do as far as M&A goes.
All right. So all the dominoes fall and you're down here in Florida. You got a few neighbors there still building houses around you out there. Out west. And so now that you're here and you look back, have you had time to kind of sit back and digest and kind of piece together what happened and how did it all happen that way? I mean, how does it feel looking back now?
Well, there's a couple things. I was on a call with a couple guys last night who were doing the regular complaints about, you know, some support issues. And I was like, man, I did not miss that. You know, it's the thing where I don't know my password and I don't know how to reset it. So you tell them, well, just look up the email that I sent you that tells you how to do that. And they say, okay. And then 5 minutes later, your phone rings and they say, well, how do I search my email? You know, that kind of thing. Really? So I don't miss that. But
not at all.
I miss a lot. I do miss a lot of the relationships. I do miss a lot of it. Some of my customers, you know, a lot of my customers 20 years plus that I had them. You know, when I sit back, I can really feel confident that I did my best leaving them in the best shape possible without having any present. You know, it's business. It's not personal. I can only do so much, but it's totally out of my hands now. But, I will say when I structured the deal and I talked to everybody that I could talk to and that I could influence, you know, I don't know why. Maybe it's just the way I did business for over 25 years. You know, I did have my customers' needs in mind too. To their credit, the company that purchased me called every business owner, and I did as well, and told them what was happening and, you know, here's what's happening, you know, so on and so forth. And they did that when they merged with the next company too. So, you know, that made me feel good, just that I could leave it so that if I happen to see them, if I ever get back to Michigan, you know, and I run into somebody at a grocery store, I could feel good about seeing them and shaking their hand. So, you know, the reality of being down here, like I said, it's still surreal. You know, I'm not bored yet. I don't know if I'm going to be bored. I don't know if I'll start another business. You know, I've thought about it, you know, one day, but the next day I'm sitting by the pool getting sunburned and I don't want to do that. So we'll see how it happens. What happens?
So here's the one thing I'll tell you. If you've noticed, your internet down here probably is not as good as your internet back in Michigan. So you may want to try to help your complex there get good internet.
Am I breaking up?
Man, you are so Comcastic. It is awesome.
Oh, goodness gracious.
No, don't go away.
No.
Oh, but it's fun. Comcastic, baby. All over the place. Or are you Spectrum over there?
No, we're Comcast. There's no real other chain. They bought the rights to the whole neighborhood.
Yeah. So. Comcast has created a monopoly over here, and it sucks. Unless Comcast would like to be a sponsor and hook me up, we can change all of that. So,
well, I apologize.
That's all right.
I wish there's something I could do about that.
Listen, this show has been worse, so no worries. All right, so so now you're here, and let me go back and ask. I know you've kind of made some references to Florida. Probably wouldn't have been in your top five if you had the time to think this out and stuff. What were some other places that would have beat out Florida? And then to end that off, why did you choose Florida?
Well, I'll start with your question. I'm definitely in Florida because just about all of my family is down here. My wife's mother's down here. My mother lives with us now, so that's great. And I think you met her on Sunday. Yep. She stayed up just to meet you.
Oh, I told my wife when I got home that she stayed up just to say hello, and I thank her for that. That was awesome.
Yeah, she was looking forward to it. I mean, you know, you helped my other mother, my mother-in-law over in Cape Coral, or one of your buddies did. I don't remember if you made it over there or if you sent somebody over there way back when I was in Michigan. So, you know, my in-laws are down here, my brother's down here, you know, everybody's down here. So my sister is over in Louisiana, sort of by Rainy and Shreveport. So it's about the same distance, actually, but she's down south. So, you know, 85-90% of our family is down here. So, you know, that's why we're here. You know, before we ended here, and don't get me wrong, we're loving it. And I really like being in South Florida. But, you know, it'd probably have been North Carolina, somewhere around Asheville.
Okay.
Is where we would have ended up if we would have chose. So, I imagine down there, we like the Biltmore Mansion. We like the Asheville Mountains. You know, I like the temperate forest like that. But, you know, I'm built for heat, so I'm loving it when it gets up to 90 down here, and I don't miss anything below 60 at all. So,
yeah, what are you going to do with all your coats and stuff? Because you don't need those.
I kept one so I can bring some up to TechCon, because you know it's going to be like 60 or 70 degrees in Chicago in September. So that's, I'm going to be bringing my Columbia full winter jacket up there.
That is true. That is true. And so now that you've kind of gotten out of tech, at least for now, have you de-Googled your life? I heard you got rid of a computer, and we're doing this. Are we doing this on your phone or your tablet?
I'm keeping track of the chat on my tablet, and I am streaming to you on my phone.
Okay.
Which I'm hoping is not the problem, but I've been on StreamYard. I've done the other shows on this, so I've never had a problem before. So I'm thinking we're just having a little Comcastic neighborhood issue tonight.
Trust me, it's Comcastic.
All right.
I would have told you about your equipment if that was it, but I can almost guarantee it's the Comcastic nature of Florida here. And some gentlemen in the chat have said apparently we're going to be getting Starlink in Florida later this year, and that might make things better. Now, Mike Smith up in Clearwater, actually it's Oldsmar, his area, he's got gig.
He's got Verizon up there, doesn't he?
Yeah.
Or does he have Comcast gig?
And, I think it's Verizon, but yeah, the Tampa area, for some reason, this is strange, and I'm going to guess that the reason Tampa is, for lack of a better phrase, folks, the porn capital of the world, they need their bandwidth. So that may be the reason that Tampa has better bandwidth than the rest of the state. Down here in South Florida, there's pockets, but even Palm Beach doesn't have the real fast internet most of the time. So we had to...
Excuse me, what did you just say about Tampa? Tampa's the what? Capital?
It's the lightning capital of the world.
All right.
And the porn capital of the world.
All right. Mixed in with a little Scientology.
Mixed in with Scientology, yep. It's like the triangle of the Scientology, lightning, porn, all that stuff up there. So
I'm gonna have to do some Googling when we talk about
that. Yes, Randy.
I'll have to ask my neighbor if his wife's home tonight. Maybe that's the issue that's causing the problem.
Because you're sharing internet? Oh, my. Okay, so let's see. We talked about selling the business.
Now I remember the question you asked me right before we went to that.
The question that I asked you?
Right before that, yes.
Well, it was the anyway, keep going. It was the two-part question about where, you know, what were the places ahead of Florida and why you ended up in Florida? We got those answered.
All right. Roger that.
And I was going to say that in terms of you mentioned Asheville, that is a beautiful area up there. So I used to go to camp near there at Crest Ridge and Ridgecrest. It's off of near Black Mountain. And
oh, I know right where Black Mountain
so
is.
So we would go there. And when I had my 3 years of darkness over near Raleigh, I would drive across the state over to there. My sister-in-law is in Charlotte. And two of my clients have moved up to Asheville and Boone, of all places.
I know where both of those are. I know where Boone is, too.
Yeah.
And, you know, a tool nerd, I'm not planning on hitting any nude beaches. Nobody wants to see that. Nobody wants to see the Speedo either. You know, if anybody wants to know about Asheville, if you can sit through the movie Last of the Mohicans when they're running through the mountains and they show all the pants out of the mountains, that is Asheville. So.
Yep. Yep. Okay. Now let's show a little... Speaking of Scientology, let's look into the future. You got out at a very interesting time. The landscape of tech is changing. And I don't know if you kind of had a sense of where things might be going, but now that you sold the business, you got out, do you have a sense of, you know, not only being glad that you're out, but are you glad that you're out because of where you see things going? Or are you able to now have a different perspective on what the future of tech, the future of managed services, which, you know, our businesses are, break fix, all of that stuff? What do you think?
Well, I think that's a double-edged sword. On one side, I think as MSPs and techs, we have tools like never before, services that, you know, remote access, you know, everything. I mean, we can go down the list. There's better tools than there's ever been to accomplish what we need to accomplish. You know, technology is amazing, blah, blah. I mean, that's the bright side of this. You know, having most of my clients or a lot of my clients for over 20 years, you know, and having a lot of them in a dental or orthodontic industry. So, you know, compliance and, you know, coming into the realm of what we do, you know, that was a huge change, you know, because clients are like, well, it's been working, John. It's been working for 15 years. Why do we need to do this now? You know, having to sell them more equipment, increasing their prices, restraining them with more security, that's kind of a drag. So working through that and getting that situated or focused so that it does not affect their business, or finding ways that that sort of thing improves their business, is a challenge. You know, on the horizon, maybe what both scared me or made me think there was some strong opportunities coming, and I'll pick on Rainey and his state, Louisiana. You know, now is my understanding that if you're in Louisiana and you do government contract work or bidding or anything with the state government, you know, you now need to register with the state government. And so I think what's going to happen is that unless the computer industry gets their act together and creates something like the lawyers have the bar which you pass, you know, sort of maybe there's a computer bar or something. I think a lot of regulation is going to start happening in the computer industry where we need to maintain minimum standards, kind of like an electrician. or something like that. You know, this is my broad guesses. So, you know, that may add a lot of cost and other negatives to being an MSP in the upcoming world, but I also think it adds opportunity to differentiate yourself. And what I mean by that is a lot of guys, or, you know, I hear people say, well, let me even back up there. You hear customers say, well, you know, my cousin can do this, or my manager's son can come in and do our computer work. We don't need to pay you for what you're doing. Or you get a trunk slammer or whatever we're calling them nowadays. It's undercutting your price because they're obviously not providing what needs to be provided. You know, if everybody needs to meet some sort of standard, you know, if you meet those standards, you're going to totally eliminate that low-cost threat from Craigslist or a trunk slammer or somebody else. So I see that as a positive. So, you know, there's a lot of challenges coming. You know, same old, we're in the change business. It's just something we're going to need to be, excuse me, you're going to need to be caught up on, not me any longer. But, you know, those are the things I see coming, which are going to be big challenges. Technology is going to be technology, but I think the government's going to get involved unless MSPs can get together and make some sort of push to handle that ourselves. And, you know, I think there's going to be a differentiator between real techs. There's going to be some sort of minimum level that we need to hold, which is going to include cyber insurance and other insurances and minimum training and some sort of bar level to meet that's going to happen.
Well, I think that has started, and it probably isn't being pushed on the computer industry as it should, but other industries are going to make the computer industry get their act together. I have a couple of situations I know. Obviously, HIPAA is, you know, making a big push that things need to be done, and if you don't and you get a breach, you're going to get hefty fines. So I think a lot of those healthcare providers are going to now step their game up and say, we need providers that can do these things the way that they need to be done. A lot of my law firms now, if they are doing any sort of work with insurance companies or banks, they are now being sent security questionnaires that are saying, do you have this sort of backup? What type of disaster recovery do you have? If there is a disaster recovery event, can you still operate on our cases? Are you protecting our data? How are you protecting our data? Can we audit you? And so that sort of thing. So my customers are now starting to say, can you fill this out for us? And I sometimes have to say, no, not unless you start doing this. And that is forcing the customers to think, wow, we have to spend more money to keep the clients we have because, you know, they don't want to be audited. They don't want to pay for, you know, local and cloud backup with disk imaging. They don't want to pay for, you know, all of our tools that we have really, you know, grown to love, but they're being told to. I've got a law firm right now. They're going to lose some cases if they don't up their security game. And, you know, and it's not that I'm happy because I'm going to get more money. It's going to be more work. So I'm looking at it too as to, man, I've got to be on my game more.
Absolutely. I mean, you can even take the simplest, you know, the lowest bar is, you know, everybody takes credit cards. So we've got to have that PCI compliance, you know, that survey everybody gets based on its complexity, based on, you know, how they're using credit cards in their organization. But I always go back to, and I kind of feel bad saying this, but, you know, you talk to a lot of techs. I mean, if you don't know VLANs, you got to know VLANing. I mean, there's just, you can't do our job on the most basic level. You can't set up home networking with IoT and internal endpoints without knowing VLANing now. I mean, you just have to have that skill set. There's just no way around it. I mean, there's no way to correctly set up a network now without, you know, without having VLAN. Yes, you can do it the old way and actually do the cabling and use separate switches and routers and all that kind of stuff. But, you know, the technology's there. So now it's time to invest in, you know, learning network infrastructure to do this the proper way.
That reminds me. So I had a meeting yesterday And it's probably the first time I've ever sat with a client this early in the process. They are building a new building. And we have already been in talks before they started breaking ground to talk about what they need for the new building. And we're talking about IT, we're talking about cameras, we're talking about door access systems. And so we had a low voltage meeting yesterday, and the camera guy was in the meeting, and we were talking about who was going to run the cables and where they were going to go and how many drops we needed. And I started talking about the firewall because the company wants one firewall, but every other person that was involved, there was a store owner that was a part of the business, there was the camera guy, they're all talking about, well, you know, we just need to open these ports and we'll be fine. We don't need, I'm like, no, we need to do a lot more than that because each network is going to be separate. And they all looked at me like, why? And so we are also going to have to combat other industries that are now infringing on our territory, because a lot of these camera guys, they just want to plug their NVR or DVR into the back of a Comcast modem and think that they're okay.
I mean, an open port is, you know, you might just run your tongue down a handrail on a New York City subway. I mean, that's the exact same thing. You're going to get some. You just can't leave any ports open anymore. You can't do it.
Yep.
I mean, not the exposure is just too great. And you're right. The vendor fight, I was there. I mean, wasn't there just some big camera hack today in the news, like 150,000 cameras in hospitals, Tesla overseas.
Yep.
So, I mean, I don't know how it happened. I don't know if that was an open port. It's probably with some sort of system infiltration. But, yeah, I'm with you 100%. It's, you know, not only are we going to have that, that we had the past meeting, you know, the copier guy shows up and that sort of thing. But now we're going to have the NVR camera guy, the VoIP phone guy, the, well, right before I left, one of my big customers built a couple new buildings. So you can add the lighting systems guy because the lights were controlled by IP in the entire building. And they wanted that open to the internet so that, you know, they could remote in and all this fun stuff. So, I mean, everything is now on our networks. Everything is IP-based. And if it's not there already, it's going to be.
Right.
I mean, the convenience is awesome, and the benefits to business is awesome. But now, you know, we got to put the gloves on. We got to fight to protect our customers from the, what is a kind word to say, the ignorance of some installers that don't have that long-term protection in mind or the long-term, yeah.
Well, and they're not the ones on the hook if something happens. And that's how I explain it to the customer is who's going to be responsible for this network after they're gone? Because I can almost guarantee that none of them, if somebody got through one of their ports into a computer, they're going to be like, oh, well, you know, we're not responsible for that. Well, us as IT people, we man the firewall. We're going to be responsible. So, and they're always going to look at us and say, well, we thought you were doing that.
Well, yeah, it's Ghostbusters. Who are you going to call? They're going to call you because one, we answer the phone. Nobody else does. And two, you know, exactly right. We're the ones that are going to try to fix the problem because let's face it, half the time when you show up, the vendor doesn't know what they're doing.
Right.
You know, on the network. Yep. And, you know, it just is what it is.
So I'm going to actually show, normally I do this afterwards, but here's a nice little phrase here. Weak password on the camera hack. Sure, it was on the dark web.
Who's Tool Nerd?
I don't know, but he's in Florida, so that's all that matters.
Oh, yeah. He's good.
Apparently, all of Florida and Louisiana are watching tonight.
He's the smartest guy in the chat right now. Sorry, Rainy.
Rainey's probably eating. We probably lost him at porn.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. I mean, but those battles have been the same battles we've been fighting. I mean, what was it, you know, the Comcast installer screws stuff up because he comes in and resets all our routers and all that.
Yep.
You know, the copy guy shows up. And what's my favorite story about that? One of my long-term orthodontics clients, the office manager, her name was Allison. Totally awesome. Calls me. It's Monday morning. And she says, well, we can't get in the building. And I'm like, what do you mean you can't get in the building? And she's like, well, we can't get in. The lock's not working. And I'm like, I've got the janitor set of keys because I can get in everywhere. So I said, well, do you need me to run a key? And she says, no, my card's not working. And I'm like, what do you mean your card? And she's like, well, the security guys put the new system in on Friday. I was like, what system? So I was going to go back to the guys building the new building that you're working with, at least cooperating and collaborating and planning. So they had a security system put in. They put the security box in on the exact same IP address as the copy machine.
Beautiful.
So over the weekend, the copy machine won. So now none of the door scanners are working. There's no key to get in because nobody brought their key. So I ran my key up, got them in with the key. The alarm goes off. Nobody knows how to shut the alarm off. But who'd they call? They called me, the computer guy, who didn't even know anything about the install, instead of the security company.
Yep.
So it's just like you said, they're going to call us for the solution.
Yep, that is true. All right, my friend.
Pull up your panties. It's not that hurtful.
I was going to let that go. Well, Mr. Maven, I want to thank you for joining me in the state of Florida as your permanent resident. And folks, you're going to be seeing a lot of Mr. John Boy and I. Didn't I used to call you Mr. Charmin?
I don't know. No, I think it was the Lysol dude. I don't remember.
Back in, we first met in 2014. We first met each other in person in 2015. And look at us now.
It's been a love fest ever since.
Yeah, yeah.
Ebony and ivory, buddy.
That's right. Black and white neons. That's what we got to find a picture and put that together. So.
No, it's been an honor. I appreciate the time. I'm sorry about the bad internet if that was on my end, but I hope we provided some value tonight.
Listen,
or at least a couple good laughs.
I live here. I know exactly about how Comcastic stuff is here. So, all right, so let's do this. You had mentioned you were trying to prepare for Florida Man, so let me let you go ahead and tell one of your Florida Man stories, and then we'll get to random question.
Is this going to be a random question from you?
Yes.
Or okay.
See, here's what happens, John. If you don't listen to the podcast, you miss these segments that I add to the show. So basically, I have a website that is a random question generator, and I just click the random button. I'm going to, at some point, make it a standard feature.
Where did this start? I listened to the show.
And we're going to make a wheel of questions at some point so that people can actually see the wheel turn and which questions come up. But right now, it's just a website and I hit a button. So,
all right, I'm ready with my Florida Man story.
Okay, go ahead.
And I got to admit, when I saw this in my feed, I thought of you immediately. Florida man with state tattooed on his head calls 911 for a ride home. And literally, I'll send the link so you can put it in the show notes.
That's an old story. That's an old story, John.
This came across February 8, 2021.
Yeah.
Did you do this one already?
We've already done that, yes.
Oh, man, that was my favorite one.
Yeah, I'll find
it. I've been saving that since you told me I was going to be on the show.
Yeah.
All right, I'm out. Epic fail.
Okay. Yeah,
all right, give me the Wheel of Fortune. Let's play Wheel of Fortune.
All right, so random question generator. And let's see, is there going to be a topic? So here is one of 700,000 questions that I just clicked the button and could be any topic. All right.
Ready.
Wow. This is like a softball down the middle of the plate.
Well, respin it then.
What is, I'll say it because I don't want to, make it look like it's rigged or anything. What is the funniest joke you know by heart?
Oh, God. One I can't tell on air?
All right. Let's go to this. Let's do this one. What languages do you wish you could speak?
Spanish, for sure, now that I'm down here.
You're nowhere close to North Cuba over here.
No. I mean, everybody that's around here working and all that, Spanish, Haitian. I mean, William just came, our electrician. You know, he primarily speaks Spanish. You know, it'd be great if I could actually communicate with somebody down here. Like I'm even more ignorant. I was up north down here, so can't communicate with anybody. So yes, Spanish for sure.
All right. So there you have it. See, that was easy.
A little panic. I am a Leo. My birthday's in August. You know, I thought you were going to do, you know.
No, come on. I'm a kitty cat when it comes to these things, but I will call you on your Florida man stories. You got to be current, and they've got to be real.
But I've been saving that for the show today. I didn't hear it. You see that guy's Florida tattoo right on it?
Yep, it's awesome. But that's why you got to stay current with the show. You know, I know there's other podcasts out there, but
I just do what Apple Podcasts tells me to do. I've turned my life over to Apple instead of the Google. So I don't know who, new master, new time.
All right. Well, folks, those of you that have watched live, I want to thank you for being in the chat. We've got a lot of comments there. And again, for those of you that are listening by audio after the fact, you can go to YouTube and the Facebook and find us there. If you subscribe or like the pages, it will tell you when we are going to go live, and you'll be able to see that. We are always going to go live Wednesdays at 8 p.m., and if for some reason you just don't want to subscribe to anything and you just want to hop over, if you go to podnutspro.com/live, that will get you the feed. But subscribing to YouTube or the Facebook will get you the direct link. You'll see the guests that we're going to have on the show. You'll see the topics that we're going to talk about. We've got a couple of great topics coming up. Next week, we're going to have a double header. I'm going to do a show with Net Ally in the afternoon, and we'll be talking about the Link Runner G2 and the Etherscope. There have been some fantastic updates that have come out with those two handheld tools. We'll refer back to the VLAN show that I did with Mike Panaki and Know Your Networks. And then at night, we are going to continue with No Marketing Marv Presents. So the rest of the month, we will be having podcasts that focus on marketing. And just because I don't know marketing as well as I should, I'm going to have people on that will help me with that. So next week, No Marketing Marv presents our good friend, Matt Rodella. So tune in for that and get your marketing game on. Okay. Well, John, thank you for being on.
Total honor. Appreciate it.
And those of you that are here with us, stay through the outro and hang in through the post show. That is going to do it for this episode of Podnuts Pro. We look forward to seeing you again next week, same time, same channel. Are you going to do it with me, John? And until next time,
absolutely.